Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in. And before we get started with the show, I just wanted to say a big thank you. You know, tomorrow, July 29th, is the 9-year anniversary since my very first paranormal podcast. I believe that was with Lloyd Auerbach. So we've come a long way since then. We've still got a long way to go, but we'll get there with your support. So please tell your friends about the shows. And I just wanted to take a moment to say thanks. You guys have tuned in and changed my life, and I really appreciate it. I'm so glad you enjoy the programs, and I know that you're going to like this one, so here it is.
This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harrell.
Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jim Harrell. So glad to be with you once again. And one of the things that is one of the great mysteries of life is that of dreams. Now, a few months back, we had J.M. DeBord on. He had written a new book, Dreams 1, 2, 3, and he is a dream interpreter. And I wanted to have him back on because I know he is doing some interesting research on another aspect of dreams, dreams in the supernatural. So what I thought we'd do today is talk a little bit about that, and then JM is going to take some calls from our callers, and they're going to share their dreams, and he's going to give his interpretations of them. JM DeBord, thank you for joining us again. Can't wait to talk about dreams.
Jim Harrell, it is great to be back. Thank you. We had such an enthusiastic response from the last podcast. I appreciate you having me back on.
Well, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it. And not surprised, we have a fantastic audience. They're very responsible. They're responsive, and they're engaged. So what can I say? So, JM, let me ask you, you know, when we talk about this idea of dreams, to me, it falls in kind of a couple of different buckets. One might be just kind of the deatrice of the day, you know, as you know, Dickens said, a bit of undigested gruel, just kind of like brain garbage. And then you have dreams that I think, and I've heard you give interpretations before, that are kind of our subconscious maybe coming to the fore, like symbolism. You know, one of the famous ones is all of your teeth falling out, and things like that. But you're doing some interesting research in maybe a third bucket here. Maybe there's some kind of tie-in to the paranormal, the supernatural. What do you have going on in that respect?
Well, I have moved on from conventional dream interpretation, which is what you find in Dreams 1, 2, 3. And I have a working title for my book. It's called Strange Dreams. It's not written yet, so don't run out to the bookstore yet. But it takes this strange, of course, all dreams are kind of strange, you know, at least a lot of them are,
sure.
You know, they're mysterious and they twist things around and put things together in ways that are very unconventional. But I have found that people have had very powerful experiences with dreams. They have shared dreams where they have two or more people have the same dream in the same night. There are dreams which have predicted the future. In fact, there are some very famous examples like Lincoln's dream about being assassinated. And then there are dreams that involve visitations from people who are loved ones who have passed on. There are dreams that have solved crimes. There's a guy, his name is Chris Robinson. He's out of the UK. He has precognitive dreams. He was brought to the University of Arizona, and they tested him. And he was tested 10 different times to see if he could dream about events that were going to happen the next day. And he got 10 out of 10 correct. It's one of the most fascinating and well-documented cases because it was done in a laboratory setting following scientific protocols. So those are the sorts of dreams that I am exploring for my next book.
Now, something that I've always thought about when people call my shows and talk about dreams, you know, our campfire show where we take ghost stories in there, we have a significant amount of dream stories that come via that show. And it always strikes me that it might be possible that there's some kind of barrier lowered. When we're dreaming, we're at a different state than we are in our waking hours. Maybe kind of our guard is lowered. You know, I kind of compare it to this. You know, a lot of times you'll hear reports of little kids seeing ghosts and seeing spirits and seeing things. And then we grow up and we learn that we're not supposed to believe in that stuff and we stop seeing it. And what I wonder is when we dream, maybe a little bit of that kind of childhood openness comes back and returns to us because we let our guard down to the supernatural. Do you find that to be the case?
Absolutely. I think that what we're talking about here is the unconscious side of the mind. This was first proposed by Sigmund Freud, then Carl Jung picked up on it and really ran with it. What it says is that, you know, you have a conscious side of your mind, which is just the tip of the iceberg. Then there's an unconscious side to the mind. And Carl Jung proposed that the unconscious side of your mind connects with the unconscious side of my mind and all others together. It's sort of like a big cosmic internet that connects us all together, but it's outside of our awareness. It's outside of our conscious awareness. And children are much closer to that than adults are. It's part of the reason why I think children have these fascinating and very accurate and detailed reports about memories of past lives. So this information is contained in the collective unconscious because it contains all of the information about the human species. Everything that we've experienced together or individually, it's like a huge database where all of that information is kept. And when you dream, the barrier, your conscious side of your mind is sort of shut down. So it allows these messages through from the unconscious side. So I think that that is what we're talking about here.
Now, when you get into some of these dreams, you get into some very strange and bizarre examples. And you were sharing a little bit about one that's going to be a part of this upcoming book. I don't want to spoil it. I'll let you share it with people, but just the little bit you kind of previewed for me, my mind was blown. Tell us about that one.
Oh, yes. I think your listeners are going to love this one. I'm always looking for examples that have overlapping details so that the odds of coincidence go down and the odds of this being an example of a, call it a paranormal or a strange dream, it makes it much more likely that it's actually not coincidence. And so I'd love to share this dream with your listeners. So it begins where the dreamer is with his family. It's two siblings and his mom, and they are in Central Park, New York. And in the middle of Central Park, there is this massive rectangular stone structure. He said that it was as tall as the skyscrapers. And in the center, it's like an open door in that the center of it is hollow. And he said there were these technicians who were like plugging in these big bundles of cables, like Ethernet cables and electrical cables. And they're doing all this stuff and they're preparing for something big. So he said that they plugged everything in. And they flip a switch, the thing turns on, and that these colors started forming in the middle of it. Think about Star Trek when the teleporter goes, you know, like all of a sudden there's these colors that are forming in the thin air. And he said that they formed a picture of a place where he had recently been with his family, which is Yabiso Gardens or Yabisu Gardens in Tokyo, Japan. It's a very famous place. And they had been there about a week before, and their vacation ended, and they had to leave behind their dad, who was in Japan for vacation. So when he has the dream, his dad is in Japan, and he's back in New Jersey with his family. So he gets up in the morning, and he's telling his mom, you know, she's like sitting there making eggs or something, and he's telling her about this fascinating dream, and he said that she got really flustered, and she goes, you know, I had the same dream. We went to Central Park. There was this massive stone thing there. They flip a switch. It turns on. And we step through the gateway and end up in Japan, in Yabiso Gardens. And there we find, well, her husband, his father. And then we continue our vacation together. So later that morning, his siblings come down from their bedrooms. And they're talking about the dream, and guess what? They had the same dream with the same details.
Boy.
Now this is, yeah, this starts to get really weird because these aren't just standard details. I mean, how many times are you going to dream about going to Central Park and seeing a massive stone structure that is some kind of a portal or gateway, and you step through the gateway, you end up in Japan, and you meet up with your father, and you continue your vacation together. So here is the real clincher. He said later that day, they're on different time schedules. They're in New Jersey. Their father's in Tokyo. They're many hours apart. So while they're going about their day, their father is sleeping. He said he got back from school, and every day when he got back from school, he would talk to his father. And they were talking on the phone, and he starts telling his father about the dream. Well, his father says that he had just woken up from a dream where he had decided to take a day off of work and go to Ubisu Gardens and hang out there. And while he was off in a sort of a corner and just observing things and relaxing, he notices that there is this massive rectangular stone gateway, and the thing like activates and lights up, and there's this fascinating display. He's seeing the other side. He's looking through the gateway, and he is seeing Central Park from Tokyo, and that through the gateway steps his family members, and they all like were happy to see each other, and they decided they would continue their vacation. So now you have the son, the father, the mother, the brother, and the sister, who have all had the same dream with the same details in the same night. Now here's the real mind blower, Jim. Some people say that these, I know, if that's not,
yeah, that's already, the mind. Yeah. Now here's the real mind blower. Go ahead.
Is that they were sleeping at different times. When dad was asleep and dreaming in Tokyo, the rest of the family was awake and going about their morning in New Jersey. And now, when people have a mutual dream like this, and there are many, many reports, some of them have been done in laboratory settings, such as at the Monroe Institute. Yes. And they have reported these people who are these very advanced dreamers have been able to create dream landscapes that they share with each other. They pass information. They've done scientific protocols to be able to verify. You know, they've done all this. But the thing was, is that the people who were experiencing the shared dreams were asleep at the same time. So there is a presumption among people who have studied this subject that you have to all be asleep and experiencing REM states where you're dreaming in order to be able to share a dream. But in this case, it shows that you don't have to be asleep at the same time. And the implications of it are pretty wild, because what it implies is that the dream itself is a creation unto itself, that it is something that is, it's not like what some people have proposed is that there is sort of a brainwave that's given off while you're dreaming, and it syncs up sort of like harmonizing in a song. And so when you are all singing the same song and you're harmonizing with each other, that's the analogy to compare to the people use to compare to what a shared dream is doing. But what this says is in this case, at least, I mean, this could be a wide-ranging phenomena that has a lot of different explanations for it. But one of them now that we have to consider is that the dream itself is some kind of a creation unto itself, and that it exists in its own time and space, that when you go to sleep, it's sort of like visiting a place together rather than syncing up and singing a song together. So, yeah, that was one of those really fascinating dreams. It's coming up in my next book. It's one of my central examples because of the way that you have five people who all have the same dream. There are many overlapping details, and they're exactly matching. There was no variation in the dream that you might expect. If there was symbolism and it's coincidence, then you're going to expect to have variations in the details. But they all reported the same dream with the exact same details on the same night. And I thought it was just fascinating.
I think it's very cool. Now, you're still working on this book, so I'd like to have you back when you're completed and it's available for people. Roughly, when do you think that's going to be coming out?
Well, I think that we can get it maybe in the next 6 months. I have been putting, I've been working really hard at this. I've got many, many examples of dreams where people have predicted the future, you know, where they have communicated with loved ones who are in, you know, who've already passed away. Just so many examples. So I really want this thing to be a book that I have covered all of the bases. So I would say a time frame of maybe about 6 months.
Excellent. We will look for it and have you back on the show to talk about it. Now we're going to go to the break. When we come back, I'd like to bring in some callers, let them share their dreams, and have you take a crack at interpreting them. Are you game?
Oh, it sounds great, Jim. I love doing this, so let's do it.
That's what we'll do right after this on the Paranormal Podcast. Well, it is a great time to pick up on my Plus Club. You know, the prices are going up in September. For 3.5 years, we've stood and the club has grown. The content has grown exponentially. We're well over 800 episodes. We've got all of those great video webinars, everything that's a part of my Paranormal Plus Club. So we've kept the price the same for 3.5 years, and we have made the executive decision that it is time for people who join after September 1st to have to pay a little bit higher rate. Because we are providing more value, our expenses have gone up over the years, and just kind of the reality of life. You know, as you add things and add new features to a car, you pay more for a car, and we're doing that with the Plus Club. A lot of good news, though. Number one, people who are currently members, no change. You're grandfathered in as a thank you for your longtime support. We're not going to be increasing those rates. And doubly good news, if you haven't for whatever reason made the plunge yet and given the Plus Club a try, there's still time. Actually, right now, there's kind of a double discount going on because we have our summer sale going on, firstly. And secondly, you beat the price increase, so you save money from two different directions. You really should check it out. You could go over to jimherold.com or jimherold.net. In either place, you'll see at the top of the page a click here, big blue button. And you click on that button and you'll get all the deets. Check it out. It is the Paranormal Plus Club. If you love these shows, there's hundreds of more archived over at the Paranormal Plus Club in terms of the Paranormal Podcast and the Campfire. Plus, we have all of the extra content that we provide, extra shows that you've never heard, never been on the free feed. Plus, all of these great webinars, like the one that we just did with Barry Fitzgerald on Doorways to Ancient Worlds. He's from Ghost Hunters International. And he will be returning in August to do part two of that. And you'll miss it unless you're a member. Go check it out all over at jimherold.net. It's the Paranormal Plus Club. Never a better time to join. Get those summer savings and beat the price increase. Thanks a lot.
Attention iTunes listeners. Your iTunes reviews put Jim's shows in the spotlight. If you enjoy Campfire, the Paranormal Podcast, and the Paranormal Report, please go to iTunes today and rate the shows. Plus, be sure to write a 2 or 3 sentence blurb on why they are the best paranormal podcasts on the planet. Thanks for your help in spreading the word. Jim appreciates it. And now, back to the show.
We're back on the Paranormal Podcast with our guest, J.M. DeBord. And J.M., are you ready to take some calls from our listeners?
Yes, I sure am.
Well, first up, we have somebody way over in Scotland. Billy has a dream, and boy, this is a doozy, and I can't wait to hear what Billy has to say about his dream and JM has to say about the dream as well in terms of interpretation. Billy, welcome to the program today.
Thanks, Jim. Nice to be here.
Nice to talk to you. Tell us what happened.
So this was a few years ago. It's had quite an effect on me. I'm actually kind of shaking a bit thinking about it, strangely enough. So I had this dream, basically, for one reason or another, me and my friends were robbing a bank. And during this, everything went wrong. And I run out the bank. Strangely, it was an American bank. All the cars were American, which was kind of weird, being from Scotland, obviously. And we hear sirens coming down the road. So we all kind of split up. I think me and two guys go off in one direction. We're running through back gardens and jumping fences, trying to get away from the police. And at one point, this woman comes to the back door of her house, and she's wearing an apron, dark-haired woman, and she's shouting at us not to get out, but to come into the house to get away from the police, to hide. And so we go in, me and one other guy. I don't know who that guy was. It was just some random made-up imaginary guy. He wasn't one of my friends or anything. And as I step into the house, I seem to black out. Sorry, my voice is shaking a bit. It's actually quite not the easiest thing to think about. The next thing I know, I come round and I'm strapped to a brick wall. There's no windows. I assume that I'm in a basement. The woman's there, and she seems to be quite pleased with herself. She seemed, the look on her face, she looked really kind of proud of herself, that she had me in this position strapped to this wall. And then she started basically torturing me. She actually had, they looked like knitting needles. And basically she was sticking them in me. She was actually pushing them right into my torso. Now, this is the point where I woke up. And I have quite a vivid imagination. I've had a lot of nightmares and things, but it's funny, they never bother me. I've had some really, really, what most people, when they hear the story, sounds like a really, really scary nightmare. And I usually wake up thinking, wow, that'd make an awesome horror movie or something. You know, it never seems to affect me. This was very different, though. I actually woke up, and there was a deep emotional level to it that I've never experienced in a dream before. And I actually woke up 26 years old, quite a big guy, sort of 200-pound plus guy, and I cried. And this dream, it was a repetitive dream. It came back many, many times. I actually ended up having to go and see my GP, my doctor, who put me on medication to help me sleep, because I literally was not getting sleep. I went for months on ridiculously small numbers of hours of sleep per week because of this dream, and it just seemed to come out of nowhere. And the imagery isn't the problem. There was just this really dark, really deep-seated emotional layer to the thing that I've never experienced before. And fortunately, you know, I haven't experienced it again. But I just had no explanation for it. It just seemed to come out of the blue, and it really left a lasting imprint on my life for well over a year. I had issues with sleep because of this dream.
Well, it sounds like quite a powerful experience. JM, what do you make of it?
Well, first of all, dreams can be very powerful and emotional. Are often stories that are exaggerations of things going on in your life. You know, you have something, you said that the dream could be almost movie-like, and it made me think of the example of Stephen King's Misery. He wrote a book called Misery, which was made into a famous movie, and Mr. King said that was based off of a dream that he had where his number one fan captured him, held him captive, and in the end fed him to her pig. So he took the basic idea of that and turned it into a book. So, you know, your idea there, it could be cathartic for you to think of it as a story like that that you could work with and maybe take some of the sting out of it. Now, let's go ahead and look at this piece by piece. You're in the opening of the dream, you are robbing a bank. And the first thing that came to my mind was, I was wondering if you were having financial difficulties at the time. Is that the case?
I wouldn't say I was having any real difficulty, but I had not long before that, I had actually moved into, I wouldn't say it was a really good, well-paying job, but it was better than I'd had before. So I wouldn't say I was in any real difficulty per se.
Okay. Well, there's other possibilities for symbolism with a bank, because a bank is where you keep things that are valuable to you. And so going and robbing a bank implies that you feel like there's something important to you that you either have to sort of sneak to get. You know, like, I'll give you an example. There are times, something that's very valuable to me is private time. It gives me a chance to clear my mind and just get myself centered inside. If I have a lot of demands on my time going on, I don't have time to do that. So I will try to steal a minute or two here and there to be able to sort of shut the door and keep people out for a little while. So think of the symbolism as being along those lines. It's something where you feel like there's something that's important or valuable for you, and you have to steal time or energy or whatever to do it. Like, you just started another job, you know, and you say that it was a better paying job. I bet also that the job had more responsibilities and demands on you. So the things that used to be important for you, like going out and taking a walk or getting away for a weekend or, you know, spending some time with your significant other, I bet that it was cutting into that. Now, the next part of it is where you are getting away from the police, and then you run across the woman, and initially she appears to give you a way out of the predicament that you were in, but then it turns out that she is there to capture you and torture you. Now, this is, again, going back to the Stephen King example. I mean, it sounds like the story Misery, you know? Annie Wilkes shows up and she appears to be there to save the day, and then it turns out that she has her own agenda. Now, there's a couple parts of that that really stuck out to me. One was you were strapped to the wall, which can symbolize that you feel like you're stuck in some kind of situation or maybe a place in your life. You know, you're feeling trapped or confined. The other part is where she's needling you. And I find that dreams enact figures of speech. And the first thing I thought of is with needling is when someone needles you, it means they're harping on you, they're criticizing you. And it's in your stomach and body. In a dream, the part of the body that's being affected has symbolism. And when I have dreams about things that are affecting my stomach, then it's like it's a punch in the gut, if you think of that saying, you know. Or sometimes you feel things in your stomach like anxieties or stress. These are things that you tend to feel in your stomach. You also tend to feel fear there. So those are the things that it brought to mind. Now, with those ideas about what the symbolism could mean, are you making any connections with your life?
I'm making quite a few, actually. Yeah.
It's interesting. Okay. Can you give us a little detail?
Yeah. So at the time, I was seeing a girl who her parents didn't have anything specific against me. However, what I would say is her parents had very general things against pretty much anyone that that she saw. So, the stealing time thing makes sense, because it was often quite difficult for us to spend any reasonable length of time with each other, because her parents were always wanting her back home or things like that. And while she never got at me about anything or moaned at me or complained at me, her parents seemed to constantly be on the phone or be text messaging her, wanting to know where she is or things like that. So that kind of fits by extension. That's quite interesting.
So you were stealing time with her. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, looking back, that's how it feels. That's what it felt like at the time. It was like, oh, well, you know, I've got a few hours. It's going to be, you know, this time by the time her dad's going to be on the phone wondering where she is, sort of thing. So it was, that kind of makes sense. It really does.
Now, how about the part about needling you in the stomach? Was that, does that accurately reflect how you felt at the time?
Yeah, towards her parents. Yeah, It felt like, you know, we didn't, because of my job, I did work long hours in this new job that I got, which around the same time I started seeing her, time was short anyway, and it felt like any time we did spend together, she was always getting a phone call or a message or something from her parents. So I can definitely draw a parallel there, definitely.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of a modern problem these days, is people are so consumed with their phones that, you know, they can be sitting there having dinner with you and they're getting bombarded by text messages and Facebook posts and all that stuff, and their attention is divided, and you can tell because they're not really making a connection with you. And were you going to feel something like that, you know? You're going to feel it in your heart, you know, or you could feel it in your stomach too. So it sounds to me like what your dream was doing was it was picturing or portraying the emotions that you were feeling in relation to the situation. And it's using the action of the dream, and it's using the bank setting and the basement where you're being tortured, you know, as symbolism to describe the situation that you were in, and then also to describe what you were feeling in response to it. So what I would suggest when I've had dreams like that is I would do deep breathing. Some people call it yoga breathing, and it basically just means that you breathe with your diaphragm by pushing your stomach out like a balloon, and you take these big, deep, long breaths, and it helps to relieve that tension out of your stomach. Because you did say that this is a recurring dream. You've had a dream with this scenario over the years, right? The first time you said you were 26, but then it repeated.
Yeah, well, basically, when it started, it went on and on and on for months, to the point where I was suffering from insomnia. I was almost, subconsciously, I guess, I was almost afraid to sleep. And it had a really deep-seated, quite long-lasting emotional effect on me. You know, fortunately, with, you know, a bit of medication and that relationship ended, and I mean, a couple of years went by and it eventually sort of stopped. So, I mean, that was a good number of years ago. It's not affecting me now, but it definitely left a mark on my life back then, you know.
Well,
just as advice for the future, remember the deep breathing. It can really help to relieve anxiety. It's something that I'm doing it right now. You know, I'm on the air with you and I get a little nervous doing this stuff. And so I breathe from my stomach and it forces my body to relax. When my body relaxes, my mind relaxes, and then I can just act naturally because I know I can do this. It's just sometimes I need to be able to relax and flow into it. So Billy, it sounds like a fascinating dream, and it sounds like that we got to the bottom of it.
Awesome. That was great.
Thanks, Billy. We appreciate it. Well, we have Cindy from Pennsylvania on the line, and she has a dream she wants to share with JM DeBoard so JM can tell us what's up. Cindy, thank you for joining us, and please tell us your dream.
Sure. I had this dream where I was at the edge of this cliff, and it was a dark blue expanse before me, and something was saying, like, just trust and jump. So I jumped into this blue expanse, and I kind of just floated there. When I looked up, there was, like, these figures wrapped in gauze, and I could tell they were, like, some important people. And telepathically, they were saying to me, well, what, is there anything you want? Is there anything you want to happen? And I said what I wanted, and it came true. And then I was back on that cliff, and I thought, well, I'm going to try this again because I can't believe it happened. And I jumped off the cliff into this dark blue expanse again, and I saw the figures wrapped in gauze, and I heard them say it again, well, is there anything you want? Is there anything you need? And, you know, I told them what I wanted, and I felt like it had come true. Like the things I wished for were given to me.
Wow. Well, you know, hi, Cindy. First of all, this is JM. And, you know, in my experience with dreams, they like to enact figures of speech. And what I see in this dream as a possibility is that you were taking some kind of leap of faith. If you look at what happens now, you leap off the cliff and the normal thing doesn't happen, which is you would fall and accelerate until something stopped you, like, you know, the bottom of the ravine or the bottom of the, you know, the place where you jump off of the cliff. But instead, you sort of float down. So that is definitely symbolism. And so to me, what it says, as just again, as a possibility, is that there was something that you weren't sure about in your life at the time, but you went ahead and you moved forward with it anyway, and you found out that it was things turned out the way that you wanted them to, because the figures then ask you, what is something that you want and or that you wish for, and then it ends up happening. And so what that says to me is it kind of reinforces the idea that you took a leap of faith, that there was something that you wanted and you were trying to get to it, and you made the leap, and then it ended up happening for you. Now, the thing that we would need to ask then is, what was going on in your life when you had the dream, and was there anything going on that was comparable to making a leap of faith?
Well, I've been getting involved in the metaphysical.
Okay.
Like trying to meditate and making grids and working with crystals.
Yes.
And I've been using these grids to make things come true. Like a friend of mine wants an adoption to go through, and I'm working on prosperity.
Yes.
I think maybe it has something to do with that, because that's been on my mind a lot.
Well, yeah, you know, you hear or you read that these things work for other people, you know, such as meditating, using crystals, setting your intention, manifesting things in your life. But if it hasn't actually happened for you yet, then you don't know for sure if it's going to work for you until you actually do it. So you start to do it and you find that it actually works for you also. Is that a fair description?
Right. Yes, that's it.
Wow.
Because then when I woke up the next morning, I had more confidence. I'm like, well, you know, I just need to believe and just carry on and it will happen.
Wow.
Like,
you know,
I felt like, yeah, a leap of faith is kind of what it was, because I just jumped off that cliff. And then a couple days later, I had another dream where I was in my car and I drove off a cliff and it just kind of floated and I went home.
Wow. You know, a car, driving in a car can be symbolism for the movement in your life. So if you drive a car off of a cliff, it can say that you've taken your life in a new direction, or you've done something that is, a new experience for you. It can also, depending on the setting, there are more negative connotations to it. But in your case, what I'm seeing is something that's very positive. And what this has reminded me of is one of the most valuable spiritual lessons that I have learned in my 44 years of life, which is, when you pray for something, you need to believe that the prayer has already been answered, and then you give thanks for it. So when you say, God, I would like to have more financial security in my life. I would like to have the resources to be able to do the things I want to do and buy the things I need to buy and take care of my household and that kind of stuff. That when you make that prayer, then you feel in your heart that it's already been answered. Now, this also comes from The Secret, which was a very famous series of books where they basically teach the same thing, that when you ask for something, you believe that it's already been given to you, and it bridges that gap, you know? It shows that you have some faith that you can actually manifest the things in your life that you want. So, very fascinating dream, Cindy. How has your work been going with the, I assume that those experiences encouraged you to continue meditating and working with the crystals and stuff.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because the first adoption grid I made, my friend was very doubtful, because actually he wants to be able to sign over his rights and then he wouldn't have to pay child support. And he's never actually met his daughter, so that's fine with him. And within the week after I created that grid and started doing Reiki on it, he got a text from his daughter's mother saying that she was in the adoption process, she had an attorney, and was working on it, which really made him a believer. So then I created another grid this Sunday to make it speed up, like to speed up the process, put arrows in the grid so that there wouldn't be any trouble, that it would be as swift as an arrow.
Yeah, wow, that is awesome. You know, what I found is that when you are trying to do something good for another person, that you have help from whatever the source is that created all this life in this universe for us and created us and brought us all together, that when you do something that you're trying to help another person, that you will have that assistance that's there. So I just want to say, Cindy, that I think it's awesome what you're doing, and to continue, you've really tapped into something that a lot of people never experience for themselves. And until they make that leap of faith, they'll never know that there is something out there in the universe that is trying to help us to live our lives the best that we can.
Well, I believe in that. I really have been trying to give myself affirmations during the day. You know, when I start to doubt on something, then I, you know, start saying my affirmations so that I get myself pumped up and scare away the negative thoughts.
Thanks so much, Cindy. We really appreciate you being on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Two interesting calls so far, JM. Now, are you ready for the next caller?
Oh, I sure am. I sure am, Jim. I do this as a I love interpreting dreams. Now, before we move on, I just want to add something real quick, a little addendum, is that I got a little bit of information wrong with that last call. The book that I was referring to is A Course in Miracles, not The Secret. It's in The Course of Miracles, they teach you to really believe that your prayers and your wishes have been answered, and that is the secret to unlocking and making it happen and manifesting in your life. So just to be clear on that for your listeners.
Fair enough. We always want to get the right information out. And here's our next caller. Is Tracy on the line from West Virginia? Now, she has a dream, a recurring dream that keeps happening. It's bugging her. She wants to know what's going on. Tracy, welcome to the program. And JM is on the line to interpret your dream. So let us know what happened and he'll give it his best shot.
Okay, hi. I just have this recurring dream like twice a week that all my teeth, maybe not all, but most of them, fall out. And it's always into a sink, and then I wake up. There's different scenarios every time, but that's like the gist of what's going on is I lose all my teeth.
Well, JM, that's interesting because, and I don't want to cut you off, Tracy. That's interesting. I've heard a lot of people have that dream. Did you have something you wanted to add, Tracy?
No, that's all.
Okay, JM, take it away.
Well, let's take a crack at this. Teeth are, it's very popular symbolism in dreams, and there are several different things to consider. Now, the first rule of dream interpretation is that you need to consider the obvious. And what I would consider is that when was the last time you were at a dentist? Do you have any fears about the conditions of your teeth? Is there something like that going on? So maybe you could sort of give an inspection. Now, what happens when you have all of your teeth fall out? I kind of, in my gut tells me that this is not related to something that's literal and that maybe a trip to the dentist isn't really what the dream is suggesting here. It's maybe saying something else related to the symbolism of teeth. Now, the first thing to consider is that when your teeth fall out of your head in a dream, it could be enacting the phrase loss of face, which means that you've taken a hit in your social prestige in some way, or that there's something going on where you're afraid that you've done something or said something that is going to sort of lower your the way that people perceive you. Another possibility, this happens quite often, especially in dreams where teeth get ground down, is that you are experiencing anxiety or stress, and it's manifesting that way. I know when I have a lot of stress in my life that I tend to clench my teeth while I'm sleeping, and if I'm dreaming, then I will have dreams that involve my teeth falling out or I see blood around my gums or something like that. And what the dream is doing is it is actually symbolizing something that's going on with my body at the time. Even though I'm asleep, I can sense that I'm clenching my teeth really hard, and then my dream will produce imagery that's based off of that. One last thing to consider is that teeth are in your mouth, and your mouth is what produces words for you. It's where your word, or should I say, it's where your words come from. So dreams can make an association or a connection between those two ideas. So, for instance, I do a lot of media interviews, And there's sometimes that I have to go out on a limb. I get asked all kinds of questions. And sometimes maybe I'm not as confident with what I'm saying, you know, especially if I get asked about a subject that I don't have much experience with, or I don't have an answer right off the top of my head. So I have to sort of wing it while we're talking. And then that night I might have a dream that's related to my teeth falling out, because it expresses the fact that I didn't really feel confident with what I was saying. Now, considering those possibilities, is there anything in there, Tracy, that feels right to you in relation to the
yes.
dream? Okay.
Yeah, the first one you said is my job status. I'm a psychiatric nurse, and I haven't been working for 10 years.
Okay.
And I don't feel, I don't know, maybe not whole, because I'm taking care of my kids instead of working.
Okay.
I don't know. To me, that defines me as my job and, you know, like you said, my social status. And I'm just kind of like not who I used to be, I guess. It's just being a house mom.
Yes,
which
yes.
maybe that don't, I kind of caught that, but I don't know if, you know, I know that shouldn't define me, but it I guess it did.
No, and it does for everyone, because, you know, the thing that you do, your occupation, is part of how other people define you and also part of how you define yourself. So I could see how losing teeth could be related to that, because when you see a person, like when a person smiles, you can tell a lot about them. You know, if their teeth are not in good condition, then you might think that their social status is a little bit lower. If you think about the phrase, never look a gift horse in the mouth, the reason why is because the way that you used to, people, you know, of course, before we had cars, being given a horse was a very valuable gift for most people. And if you went and you looked at the horse's teeth, then what you were doing is you were checking to see how good is this horse. It's sort of like if somebody gave you a car and the first thing you did was look under the hood and you start checking out the engine. It's a way of saying, well, how good is this car really? You know, so
right.
that's why that phrase gift horse in the mouth has come about, is because it was a way of checking out and sort of kicking the tires or the hoofs, you know, and seeing what the, you know, checking out to see how valuable this horse really is. So if you have teeth that are falling out, it can connect with the idea that you are having some kind of anxiety or nervousness about social perception. So I think we just hit that one right on the head.
Cool.
I think so too. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thanks
for sharing your dream, Tracy.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
And our final caller for today is Patrick from St. Louis. Now, a little backstory. Patrick actually has his own podcast that delves into supernatural matters. He went over to podcastwithjim.com and took my video course on podcasting and how to podcast. And he's launched a podcast, and I'm very proud of him. He's my student, and I think he's doing a great job over there. You're going to want to check it out. I'll let him tell you a little bit later on how to do just that. But in the interim, he has a dream, and it's such a lucky thing because we just happen to have J.M. DeBord on the line, who is a dream interpreter, so it's perfect. Patrick, tell us your dream, and J.M. will hold forth.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity to do this. Well, the dream requires a little bit of backstory, first of all. It's one of the more fascinating dreams that I've had in a long time. It was actually about 6 months ago. And I really only have, you know, one kind of bigger question about it. But it definitely has stood out in my brain. The backstory, I'm a teacher. I teach middle school. They know that I'm very open about the paranormal and you know, blog. And now I guess they'll find out that I podcast. And so they're often fascinated with some of the stories that I tell them about, some of the things that I do, when I find it okay for me to share those things with them. Well, one of the things that I do is I have a collection of yearbooks from my hometown, an old historical hometown, from my high school, going all the way back from like early 1900s into the 20s. And I later found out that most of those yearbooks that I owned were actually owned by one of the teachers in the town. And she has a fascinating background and story, because I did some genealogy on her. She actually began teaching in a one-room schoolhouse early 1900s and ended up teaching in that town to like the late 60s or early 70s or something like that. And what I found out is that a lot of people didn't have a lot of memories from her, and a lot of people had forgotten about her. And I was just fascinated by her. And so I did some research and talked to the kids about it. And we, you know, shared the yearbooks. And that week, you know, a couple weird things had happened in class. And, you know, I kind of made jokes about, well, maybe it's Miss Owen. That was her name, Miss Owen. And so now every now and then when something weird happens, the kids are like, oh, Mr. Keller, do you think it's Miss Owen? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe it is. So that's kind of the backstory with how kind of this all got started. Now to the dream. I'm in a classroom with my students, and we're in a different, I don't know if this is important or not, but we're in a different classroom, not our typical classroom. You know, sometimes things in school happen and you're displaced or whatever. And I go through my day teaching. And at the end of the day, the students, you know, go off to their buses to go home, and I'm following them out. And one of my students in the dream brings to me some artwork that she had drawn for me or sketched for me. And it was really, really beautiful. You know, every now and then kids do that. They'll bring you little, you know, things that they drew or to just tell you how much they appreciate you or whatever. And it was, from her perspective, sitting in the room, it was the whole front of the room. I'm up there. You could see other kids. You could see exactly how the room looked. It was really a good sketch. And she'd also made it into like a Wordle, you know, so there were words kind of spread out throughout the artwork, you know, I guess different characteristics she felt I had, like nice or funny and all those things. And so I'm walking back to my room, and I'm getting ready to file it, because I file those things because I think they're cool to have and save. And I have a big collection of those things. And just as I'm getting ready to file it, I'm looking at it, and I notice that in the front of the room on the opposite side of me in a corner, she had sketched an older woman just kind of perusing, watching, you know, the day's events, I guess, in the classroom. And I thought, well, that's weird. You know, I was there the whole day, and there was no woman in the front of the room with us. I'm sure I would have questioned why we had a visitor. And, but everything else about the picture was like exact, you know, all the details were there, looked just like me, everything else about the room. And then suddenly, you know, the hairs stood up on my neck and on my arms in my dream. And because I'm realizing I recognize this woman, because I'd had pictures of her. I had several pictures of her going back to her earlier teaching years to kind of later teaching years. And I thought, oh my gosh, that was Miss Owen. Was she just visiting? Was she checking us out? Did just kind of seeing what we're doing? And that's when I woke up. I'm like, wow, was this a visit? Is this just, you know, kind of cool that my student in the dream apparently, you know, had some abilities to see those things? Or, you know, maybe she's just really creative. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm going to mention, JM, before we get started, earlier in the show, in the first segment, we talked about dreams in the paranormal. This dovetails quite nicely. Give us your thoughts.
Sure. You know, I knew about a minute before you said that the lady was in the picture. I shouldn't say I knew, but I had a very strong feeling that's the way that it was going to, that was the direction that you were going in, because I've seen this kind of symbolism before in dreams. And what I think, the first thing that I would consider, because you always consider more conventional explanations for things first. And if the conventional explanation doesn't fit, then maybe you start looking at, say, unconventional or paranormal. And what it reminds me of is that it's a way of saying that you're following in her footsteps. She was a teacher that was in the town, and you have this connection to her because you have her yearbooks. And then you found out this information about her, such as that, you know, she was a teacher there for, you know, it sounds like about 50 years. And yet, you know, she's not really remembered anymore, but you have kept the memory of her alive, Patrick. And so what I think that the dream is saying is, or what it's showing you is that you are following in the same footsteps. It's different students. It's a different classroom. You know, you're not in a one room schoolhouse, at least I hope not. but I think that what it's showing is that you're playing the same role and you're making the same valuable contributions in the lives of these young people as she did. So in a way, what you're doing is you're following in her footsteps. And with her being there present in the classroom, I think what it's saying is that maybe not necessarily that her spirit is there with you in a literal sense, but in a figurative sense, that the spirit of her as a teacher and as someone that cares for children and tries to unlock their potential and show them what they're made of and what they're capable of, that you're doing the same thing that she did. So she's painted into the picture because in a way she is there observing you in the sense that the spirit of being a good teacher is there with you. Now, how does that feel to you?
I think that feels great. It's something that I kind of wondered if, you know, one of the things that had happened in the classroom, you know, around this time is I'm a music teacher, so I had my students up on the risers and we were practicing to perform something. And I had turned to, you know, lots of chaos goes on in schools, you know, kids are, you know, trying to get your attention or whatever. And I turned and said, "Yes, what do you need?" And everyone in that classroom was in front of me on the risers. And I look behind me and there's no one behind me. And so the kids are like, "Mr. Kelly," and they tell me, they're like, "I think she's just checking up on us just to see how it's going." So I think maybe it makes me feel like, as I've been thinking about her and kind of looking into her life and the life that she led, maybe it's her way of letting me know, "Hey, this is cool. I want to see, you know, what you're doing." I don't know. But I think it fascinates me. I think it's cool.
Well, one of the things that I have, after years of doing dream interpretations, one of the things that I tell people is that if the way that you interpret the dream feels positive and uplifting for you, then interpret it that way. I mean, if you have a sense that she is there with you and she's sort of contributing her positive energy to the entire, you know, to the experience, then I don't see any harm in believing that. Now, there are some very rational-minded people who might come in and be like, "Oh, you're fooling yourself. You're just trying to make yourself believe something," or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's your dream and it's your life, and the way that you want to interpret it is up to you. And what I believe is that as long as you're interpreting it positively and that it's somehow beneficial for your life, then why not? You know, why not? She could be there. Her spirit could be there literally participating. I mean, especially since you had looked into her and you took an interest in this lady, maybe it sent out some kind of, you know, kind of like a radio wave that she picked up in the next life, you know, or it could be something that's figurative as I described it before. But either way, it's your dream, Patrick. It's your interpretation. And if whatever way you want to interpret it that is beneficial for you, then interpret it that way.
It's definitely been a positive thing, and it actually is a way to kind of lighten up the atmosphere in school occasionally.
Oh, yeah.
When these things happen. So it's cool. You know, whether or not there's really anything to it, it's kind of a fun story to bring up every now and then.
And if you want to get the attention of a middle schooler, then, you know, these kinds of things draw their minds into it. And it probably helps you in the learning process by getting their attention. So, hey, why not? It sounds like it's helping you either way.
And Patrick, I want to give you the opportunity to give people a minute on your podcast. Tell them what it's about and where they can find it.
Oh, thank you, Jim. And I first want to say, if anybody has any thoughts about doing a podcast, to check out the video course, because it was very cool and it was the inspiration that I needed. And but the podcast is The Big Seance Podcast, and it kind of goes with my blog, bigseance.com. And you can find it on iTunes now. We've been on iTunes about a week as of this taping. And we have 3 episodes, getting ready to be 4 episodes up. And I've gotten a lot of good feedback, but you could also find it on BigSeancePodcast.com.
There you go. There you have it. Thank you, Patrick. And thanks for sharing your dream with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
JM, it has been a great show. I have certainly enjoyed it. Where can people plug into everything you're doing? I know you're working on this new book that will eventually be coming out, but I know that you have your current book, Dreams 1, 2, 3, I believe, and everything else that you do. Where can people find that book, find your website, and everything you're doing online?
Well, for the book, go to dreams1-2-3.com. And that will take you to the website for the book, and it just explains my approach to dreams and what you would expect to find in the book. I highly encourage people to go to my blog, which is dreams123.net, because I take dreams that have been submitted to me for interpretation, and I put them up there, and I break down, this is how I interpret the dreams. And it's written in, you know, blog style, so it's a little bit loose, it's a little bit fun. I try to, you know, be humorous and have some fun with it, but while also teaching people how to interpret their dreams. I would also encourage your listeners to go to Reddit Dreams. Now, anybody that knows Reddit, it's a massive website, and it's divided into all these little zones, and one of them is Reddit Dreams, which is reddit.com/r/dreams, or you can just put in redditdreams.com and it will forward you there. I'm a moderator there. I get around to looking at most of the content that's submitted, and people, if they have dreams that they would like me to interpret for them, there is a way of being able to do that from Reddit Dreams. So I encourage them to drop by, and you know, after they've listened to what we've done here, I have a feeling there might be a few of your listeners who go, well, if he can interpret the dreams of, you know, Jim's callers, then maybe he can help me out too. And I'm blessed to be able to have the time and ability to be able to do that. So, you know, I'm always happy to do it if I have the time to.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for your time today. And all I can say is continued success and sweet dreams.
Thank you, Jim. You too.
And thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Paranormal Podcast. We certainly appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next time. And in risk of repeating myself, sweet dreams. Bye-bye, everybody. Now for the legal disclaimer. We do not accept money from publishers or content producers in exchange for interviews. However, as with most media outlets, in the majority of cases, we do receive complimentary copies of books and DVDs that we feature on our podcasts. Your purchases of books, DVDs, and other items via our Amazon.com links benefit Jim Harold and JimHarold.com and help us continue our programming. The sponsor messages you hear on the programs are paid endorsements, although we really do like them. For the full disclaimer, go to JimHarold.com, and thanks for listening.